Chapter 44, The Gathering of the Clouds. The year was 1970. In Mississippi, Donald Triplett had become a dutiful employee of the Bank of Forest, answering calls and recognizing customers as they walked in, not by calling out their name, but by calling out their account number. In the afternoons, Donald could be found on the golf course, a hobby he could enjoy alone. Occasionally, when the weather was nice and the parking lot was full, he would get matched with other players, no doubt already aware of who he was. The intimate setting of the small town afforded him a luxury most others with autism would not enjoy at that time, the recognition and acceptance of his differences. Everyone knew who Donald was and could accommodate his peculiarities without much trouble. A year earlier, Donald's mother Mary would write her final letter to Leo Connor, a poignant tribute to the dedication and unfailing love parents with affected children are famous for. In the letter, she wrote that Donald's life was, quote, so much better than we had hoped for, end quote. He had come far from the early days of her desperate admission that her child was hopelessly insane. She expressed the hope and fear every parent feels for their child, no matter their deficiencies, writing, quote, if he can maintain the status quo, I think he has adjusted sufficiently to take care of himself. For this much progress, we are truly grateful, end quote. Her early efforts to hide Donald in shame were gone. She was proud of him, who he had become, and loved him as much as any mother could. The Dion sisters, Yvonne, Annette, Marie, and Cecile, had remained close. Marie had struggled to find her way and, after trying college and another attempt in the cloisters, had opened a floral shop. She eventually married and, following two miscarriages, gave birth to a daughter on a Christmas Eve, a little girl who would sleep in the same crib Marie had grown up in, the comforting words of Que le bon Jésus vous garde still adorning her bed. The name on the crib still said Marie, but the girl sleeping within had been named Emily. It was a touching memorial to the sister Marie had shared her struggles so intimately with, even before birth, as they were knit together within their shared embryonic sac. Her marriage would not last, and Marie's daughters Emily and Monique would be placed in foster homes, a devastating event considering the troubled childhood she no doubt had hoped to protect her daughters from. As Donald hit the links one afternoon in Forest in 1970, Marie died. She was just 35 years old and had been struggling with depression and other undisclosed illnesses. The cause of death was listed in some places as stroke, while others said it was a brain tumor. No matter the cause, Marie and Emily, who had been so close, amongst a quintuplet of connectedness, were both gone. News of her death would flash across the newspapers for a day, a somber reminder to many who had forgotten about their obsession with the Dion girls. Across the United States and other parts of the world, a new vaccine was being introduced. Mothers were not crying out for help from the infection it protected against because their babies were not dying from it. But the momentum left over from the race to develop a polio vaccine was intense, the flywheels of scientific discovery vibrating laboratories everywhere. Several scientists who had just missed their chance for recognition in the polio fight had poured themselves into another virus, hopeful they could lay claim to eradication of another disease. Mentions of autism had increased, but the public was still largely unaware of the disorder. An article in a California paper showed how elective classes in a local high school had been created for students to assist some of their struggling classmates. Self-imprisoned children given help in Larkspur, the article was titled. Quote, the class is believed to be the only public school class in the nation for autistic children, but it may not be for long, end quote. A doctor from the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute attempted to comfort parents concerned about autism with statistics meant to indicate its rarity, saying, it occurs in no more than 2,500 births. Just years earlier, the number had been estimated at 1 in 10,000. Although 1 in 2,500 may have been higher than reality, the actual number was about to explode far beyond.